In the words of one of our shepherds, aren't you glad to be a Christian? Today is a blessed day. We're thankful you're here. We're thankful that we all got to be a part of that together as we have appointed three new leaders. We're thankful for our former four leaders, Cedric Boyd, Sean Wasilewski, Charlie Hughes, and Doug Price. We're thankful for their vision and their ability to look in the future and to prepare us, to propel us into where we're going. And we're thankful for them. And we're thankful for our new shepherds, as we've just appointed them. We're thankful for Rob Rice, for Rob Brown, and for Jay Headley. And I'm especially thankful that Rob Brown explained the acronym to us today, because the first time he sent me an email, I definitely thought he was saying, "Thank God it's Friday." So we realize that today, that there's some who maybe haven't been part of Northeast for a super long time. Cassidy, is my PowerPoint down there? And this is my wife, if you don't know her, who's bringing my PowerPoint. No. We realize not everyone here has come here for a long time. Maybe you haven't been around Church of Christ all that long, and it doesn't take you very long to kind of wonder and to ask some questions like, what are elders? Who are elders? What is their role? Because when you look at the structure of how we do things at Northeast, it's apparent that we do things a little bit different than our brothers and sisters in other churches. And so we want to ask some of those questions today. Just ask some basic, important questions. Who are elders? What do they do? And what do they do? What is their role? What is the biblical model for leadership in the local church? Because again, you look around, we're structured a little bit different. Instead of one person who is in charge of everything, as like the preacher and pastor, which in this case, I would be filling that role, or Grady before I came, right? We're not structured that way. We have this group of elders, shepherds, pastors, who lead the church in that way. And again, that's different. And so we want to talk about that today. And that's one of those things that we don't look at others and judge others for not having the same model we do. But at the same time, here at Northeast, we are deeply committed to this because we believe it's the biblical model. And I want to just talk about that for just a moment, because we don't want to assume that everyone has the same understanding of Scripture in this room. So we want to look at it and explain. This is why we do what we do this morning. And then look at some of what the Apostle Peter has to say about elders. And so, why do we do this? Why do we structure church in that way, this way? We do because we believe, again, we believe this is the biblical model. We believe that consistently what you see in the New Testament is this structure that we're going to talk about this morning for the local church. First and foremost, what is the biblical model? First and foremost, we believe that the biblical model is that Jesus is the head of the church, and that nobody else can be considered the head of the church. And we believe that strongly. We look at passages like Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "And God placed all things under His, Jesus' feet, and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church." And so we believe Him to be the head of the church universal, right? The church all over the world. But we also believe Him to be the head of the local church. And this means a lot of things for us. And historically, this is what we have believed. And that's why, historically, our name is Churches of Christ. It's because what we're saying is that we're of Christ. Like, He's the head. He's the one who gets the glory. That He's the leader. All right? And this means different things for us. Number one, it means one of the things we believe and that we hold to is that we don't have a universal headquarters, right, to instruct us, to tell us how to do things. Is that we are an independent body. Yes, there's other churches that have the same name on their outside and who we might be connected with in other ways. But when it's all said and done, Northeast is an independent body. We're not getting instruction from others telling us how to do things here. And we don't answer to any other church or in any other upper body that we're responsible to. But instead, we're an independent church and we believe we're responsible to Christ and Christ alone. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to have good relationships with others and we don't want to seek wisdom from others, but it means what happens in Northeast is done here. And we are accountable to God for what we do and to no one else. In Scripture, you don't see anything like this overarching body And we choose not to partake anything like that, but that we're this independent body. But it also means, right, we don't have to ask the church down the street, is it okay if we do this or get approval, right? Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus, he doesn't say, make sure you run these things by the bigger churches over in Rome or over in Jerusalem. That's just not how it worked. But instead, what we see is that each local church, each independent body, has this leadership, built-in leadership, in order to help make the decisions for the church, right? Because although we have Jesus with us and he's guiding us, there's things that come up that decisions have to be made now. And so we have these leaders. And what we see in the New Testament, and we believe here that this is the consistent structure throughout the New Testament, is that in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. And that word overseer is a word, maybe you've heard the word bishop before. And different structures, the way people interpret that is that you have this one bishop over others. Well, the way we understand this is that there is always this plurality of bishops or overseers where this term is synonymously used with the term elder. Or another term we might use is shepherd. And so you see these different words used, we believe, for the same role. Whether it's elder, overseer, shepherd, pastor, we believe that to all be the same thing. It's those that meet those qualifications there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 to be the overseer, the elder, the bishops of the congregation. And what we also believe is that we all always see this in the plural. I mean, we believe that a church, a local church, ought to have a plurality of elders looking over the church. And so when we say overseer now, we don't see that as this kind of highly statused office that you have all this authority over others, but instead that's a term that goes back to being a shepherd, right? When that word was first used, you didn't have all these hierarchical structures to compare it to, but it was instead just meant a shepherd, as a shepherd oversees the flock, and that's what it's meant. But then you see the second thing there, you see deacons. And we won't talk a lot about that today because that's not our lesson. But deacons are those who take on some of the tasks that allow elders to be freed up to be able to do what elders do, which is to oversee, to lead spiritually. And so deacons take on some of that work, important work, that's not menial tasks, but important work, so that the church can be the church and the elders can lead and oversee the work. But then you still have others, who we might call evangelists or ministers. And you have this other passage there that illustrates this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But you keep your head, Paul talking to the young minister named Timothy, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all your duties of your ministry. And so that's typically how we see things. We have elders, deacons, ministers, and then those who are congregants or members of the congregation. And this is how we structure our church. Elders are those who have overall responsibility for the well-being of the church. Deacons are those who carry out some of the things that elders think we need to be doing. And those elders and deacons are brought up out of the church. And you kind of have that model in Acts 6, perhaps, to show your reference. And by the way, there's a lot of passages we won't look at this morning for the sake of time and just and simplicity. But then you have these ministers who could be brought up out of the congregation, but oftentimes what we see in the New Testament is those ministers were brought out from somewhere else, and they come to a local church like Timothy being located in those situations, Paul even being located with Ephesus, as we see in Acts chapter 20. Right, you see these ministers brought in who partner with the elders in order to help lead and teach and educate and inspire the congregation. Now, so basically, if we just think about it in those three terms, elders, deacons, and ministers, as far as those who help lead the church, and when you look at their roles, you realize it's not long until you realize that some of that's going to overlap. And so I kind of try to illustrate it this way. Is yes, you have elders, you have deacons, but you have ministers, and some of that's going to overlap in the middle. And so although we believe that elders are to shape the vision of a congregation, to cast a vision for the congregation, obviously some of that is going to be ministers doing that as well. And you might even say in their individual works, you're going to see deacons doing that in certain areas as they've been given responsibility over various works, right? A lot of times you see ministers visiting and praying with the sick and all that. But that's also, of course, one of the roles of the elders that overlaps with the ministers. And then at the same time, the elders have this pastoral or shepherding emphasis, right? That's their role by definition, is that they're the shepherds, they're the pastors. But we also see ministers in Scripture having that sort of a role as well, where they shepherd, they are there for people, they counsel, they help. They're there with them when they're sick, they're there with them when they have needs. And then the deacons, right? We might say the deacons are doing a lot of those important tasks to help run the church, but of course there's overlap. Sometimes you'll see elders helping with some of those tasks. You'll see ministers, right? It's just, well, my point is that we have these three leadership roles in the church, but you're going to see overlap at times. It's hard to define between the three because it's all involved in the work of ministry. But although there's some overlap, nevertheless, there's still these distinct roles that we believe we see throughout the New Testament. And it would be, I think, great lessons in the future to look at some of that and look at ministers, look at deacons. But today we want to focus on elders. And so as we've defined so far is that elders are those shepherds. They're the overseers. They're the ones who have ultimate responsibility for the flock. And so we want to ask this morning, then, is what is a good shepherd? What does it mean to be a good shepherd? Now, we know what it means to be a good neighbor because of our good friends over at State Farm, who, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Right, but what does it mean to be a good shepherd? And Lynn Anderson, the late Lynn Anderson, who was a former preacher amongst our fellowship and Churches of Christ, well-known, well-respected in the area of spiritual leadership, said this. He said that shepherds in Bible days were not day laborers who just showed up for work in the morning at a stranger's pasture, right? That's what we would think of. If I was going to be hired to work with someone's sheep, I would come in at the day and I would work with the sheep and I'd go home and leave work at home and go, or leave work when you go home and go on with your day. But that's not how shepherds worked at this time. That they were not day laborers who showed up for the work in the morning at a stranger's pasture, put in 8 hours and then went back home. Rather, shepherds helped with the birth of the lambs. They led their sheep to the pasture during the day and protected them at night. They were always with them. They were part of the flock. And the sheep knew their shepherd's touch, recognized his voice, and followed no other shepherd. And then this is significant. He says, there was a genuine relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And in fact, through long time and frequent touch, the shepherds smelled like sheep. And that might be kind of an odd thought, to think of spiritual leaders in that way. And of course, this applies to all spiritual leaders, which is most of us in this room in one way or another, but it's especially true for elders, is that elders are from among the people. Elders are not intended to be a board of directors as you would see in a corporate business, making decisions from the hill on high. That's not the intention of the New Testament. That's not the intention of the local church. But instead, they're meant to be shepherds, people of the people, people who, quote-unquote, smell like sheep, for whatever that means, is because that they're so involved in the life of the congregation and that they know the people that they're leading and the people they're leading know them intimately. And so what I want to do now, then, is think about that. What does it mean to be like a good shepherd? And I want to look at a passage from 1 Peter chapter 5, which has been referenced already. And I want to break that down and say, what does it mean to be a shepherd? Okay, so like a good shepherd, elders smell like sheep. So what does that look like? What does it look like for an elder to be among the people? And we look over at 1 Peter. And we're given this instruction from Peter. And Peter, it says, he says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings and also who will also share in the glory to be revealed. And so Peter, who was one of the leaders in the early first century church, was an elder. And what he says is, and what he says next is coming from that experience, is that Peter, who walked with Jesus, the true good shepherd, right, the leader of the local church, the leader of the universal church, Peter knew him personally, walked with him day by day, as was pointed out by Sean in his prayer, right? He had been given the instruction by Jesus himself to go feed the sheep, right? Commissioned by Jesus himself, go be a shepherd, go be a pastor, go be eventually an elder. And Peter now gives elders this advice and how to be an elder, how to be a shepherd. And the first thing he says at the beginning of verse 2 is be shepherds. Be shepherds, which of course goes along with everything we've been saying so far, of God's flock that is under your care. And so the first thing, like a good shepherd, elders lead the flock. They shepherd the flock. They pastor the flock. Right? They're so a part of shaping the vision of a church. They're involved in leading and shepherding and getting the local church from point A to point B to help the church as a whole keep moving forward, being more conformed to the image of Christ, right? Helping individuals, right? It's not just a congregation as a whole, but as the members like you and me who at times need guidance, they need help. Right, the elders are there to provide spiritual leadership, to help us along the way, to help us get from point A to point B in our own lives as well. And so they're shepherds of the church as a whole, but they're also shepherds to us as individuals, as shepherds among the people, shepherds who smell like sheep. And then the text also goes on there, as you see. It says, shepherd the flock, God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. And so the second point here is this, is that like a good shepherd, elders oversee the flock. Now, of course, right, that phrase, watching over, as the NIV puts it, is that same word, overseer, we see over in Philippians 1 and verse 1. That word that we get bishop, again, looking at church history, that word bishop. And again, this idea is intrinsically tied to shepherding. And I think this is illustrated by the way Peter uses it. He says, be a shepherd. Take care of those in your care. Watch over them. Again, not like a president over a country or a CEO over a company, but watch over, be over in the sense of a shepherd, as a shepherd watches over the flock, right? Not in some way that would be like a policeman watching over or keeping track of in a way to keep a record of how that person is doing in order to keep them in line, right, as a ruler would, but instead it's like a flock taking care of the sheep. Seeing what needs are there to watch over, to oversee. It involves our elders, and they do is regularly checking in and saying, what is the status of our people? What is the health of our church? Right? It involves making sure the church gets a steady diet of healthy teaching. That's their responsibility, to make sure that the ministers teaching or those teaching in Bible class, whoever, that make sure that that teaching is healthy and that it's going to actually help our church grow and to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our individual lives, right? That's a responsibility to oversee that, to make sure that the sheep are being fed. And then it also includes protecting the church, protecting each one of us from unhealthy teaching, teaching that doesn't produce fruits of the Spirit, teaching that doesn't lead to growing more into the image of Christ. That the elders, that's part of the responsibility of watching over and overseeing, is making sure that the church is always growing and is healthy. And when it's not healthy, taking the actions necessary to get us to a more healthier spot. Let's look at the next part of the verse. So they, like a good shepherd, elders oversee the flock. But then the next part of the verse, in verse 2, it says, not because you must, right? You don't do this because you must, because you have this obligation, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. And so what Peter is doing, as he's giving this advice to elders, is saying, be careful of the false motives that we can sometimes have in taking on a position of leadership. And we all know that that's part of the human condition, that the human heart struggles with greed, it struggles for reaching for power, it struggles for reaching for status. But what Peter says, no, that's not what this is. And we all know situations where that's what it has been. even in local churches. And Peter warns us, he warns all spiritual leaders of this, is when you take on a role of leadership, make sure it's not self-serving. He says, but you need to be, this word, eager to serve others. Eager to serve others. In other words, elders become elders not to gain some type of status, right? But become elders because they want to serve others. Right? Leadership in the church, and this is important, leadership in the church is not a recognition of status. It's a call to serve. And that's important because when we think of other leadership positions and all around us, in the world around us, in the kingdom of this world, leadership is about gaining status. It's about position. But the kingdom of God turns that on its head when Jesus says, the first shall be last, the last shall be first, and that we're called to be servants of all, that the greatest among you is the servant. And that's our goal for our eldership, to be those with these servants' hearts. They want to be a part of this so they can serve. Not so they can make these big decisions, but so they can serve. And then every decision made is through that filter of serving. Is how would this decision best serve our body here at Northeast? And I've been in some of those meetings, and that's the questions that they are asking. And that's what we want for the future. And then, so we come from that, is that like a good shepherd, elders serve the flock. And then lastly here, it says, and not lording it over those entrusted to you, same idea, not abusing a position you have, but being examples to the flock. So the last thing here is that like a good shepherd, elders live as an example to the flock. And what is more simple than that? You say, what is an elder? Right, an elder is a person we raise up, say, lead us, be a good example to us, someone we can come to when we, during times in which we struggle, times in which we need to grow, but people who are a good example. And I know we all can confidently say that the men that we have before us are that. They're all these things, but they are certainly a good example. People we look up to, people that we strive to be like. And that's what they are called to be. These are men we admire, people we believe to be following Jesus with all of their hearts, and their wives, them as couples who serve as wonderful examples to us, people we want to model our lives after. As Paul said, imitate me, and it seems like a bold thing for the Apostle Paul to say. He's not Jesus, and we think, oh, I ought to imitate Jesus. No, but that's healthy, is to imitate those who are giving their whole selves to following Jesus. And our elders ought to be those type of people for our congregation, and I believe are as well, as those are people I want to imitate. People I want to be like are these men and their wives serving our church. And ultimately, the role of shepherd, the role of elder, points us to the chief shepherd, the chief elders. Peter continues on in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Ultimately, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And we look forward to when he returns so that we can be called home to him and to be a part of his flock as we are now. But for the time being, we have these leaders with us. And Christ is with us through them as our shepherds, people to shepherd our soul and to encourage us to live out the gospel in our time now. That these are our leaders that we have. And we believe that elders will be rewarded for that sacrifice and for that effort. So what about you and me? What does that mean for our church, Northeast? And what's that mean for us as individuals? I believe Peter goes on in this final thought here in verse 5. It says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. Now, the way it's kind of phrased, it looks like, is he just randomly saying, respect those who are older than you? I think Peter would definitely say that. But I think it would be somewhat out of context. I think he's tying that exactly. It's those who aren't elders, those who are spiritually younger, those who are in need of, those who are not the leaders of the church, submit yourself to your elders. We don't really like that word submit. It's a harsh word in our culture, but here's simply what I think it means. It means that we accept God's organized structure for the local church, that we accept that, and we submit ourselves to that. And we say, we commit ourselves to these men and to their guidance, to their shepherding. And in doing so, we commit ourselves to the chief shepherd as well. And so, we trust God's plan. We believe that this is the model for leadership for the local church, and we entrust ourselves to God and to them. And we give these new leaders our support, we give them our appreciation, and we continue to pray for them regularly as they help shape the vision going forward for Northeast. And as they take time to shepherd us and be shepherds to our souls as well. And so we might ask, why these men? Why these three? It's important that we realize that today we did not appoint people, we did not appoint these men because we want them to become shepherds and we want them to become leaders. It's important for us to realize we appointed these three men because they already are shepherds and leaders. And we're recognizing that today. Lynn Anderson in his book, he says this. He says, the process of appointing elders is simply the process of acknowledging those who have been shepherding for a long time. Right? Many of you know these three men. Maybe you know one better than the other two, or vice versa. You've had a chance to get to know them. Many in our congregation have been shepherded by maybe all these men or one of these men, right? We're a semi-large church, and so it's likely as they were working as deacons or working in other areas, maybe you didn't get to know them as well, but a lot of people have, and you've been shepherded by them in some way, probably at least one of these men. And so these men have a flock already. And today is all about recognizing the fact that they are shepherds. They have proven themselves adequate to lead and to help people grow spiritually. And then Lynn Anderson would say this then. And so then a person officially becomes an elder when through one means or another, his flock, right, the people he was already shepherding, says to the rest of the congregation, you too need this man as your shepherd. And that's what we've done today. And then by our amen at the prayer, the rest of the congregation says to them, shepherd us also. I hope that's what this day was for you. As we go forward and think about these men who've been raised up, put before you, and have been appointed as shepherds of the Northeast Church, let us also say to them today, shepherd us also, as they continue their work as shepherds and spiritual leaders in this congregation. Let's pray today. God, you are holy, you are wonderful. We're thankful for this time that we've had together today to be able to be instructed by your word, to celebrate leaders, to celebrate elders and the work that they do for your churches all across the world. And Father, we're thankful for Northeast and the church that we are, the gathering that we are, and the great history that we have of wonderful leaders, elders, shepherds, deacons, Bible class teachers, and all, as you look at all the different leaders that we have, Father, we're just so blessed with great leadership here. So many wonderful men and women who lead well here and shepherd, but we're thankful for these that we've raised up today who will serve as our elders and shepherds, and please be with them and their families as we go forward, and pray that we all can make it a joy for them to serve and be there for them as well as they will be there for us so often. And Father, bless them and pray that we will continue to be propelled into the future and to what you have in store for us here at Northeast. And Father, we're thankful for your Son, our chief shepherd, the good shepherd, and pray that we can all continue to follow in his lead as we do so together here at Northeast. And we pray this all in your Son's name. Amen.